Interesting that sometimes we do this kind of silly stuff in our lives. We take things and we throw them at the problem, right? And we think that we can solve it by throwing things at the problem. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about being unstuck. Because sometimes I think all of us can explain or tell a story of when they've been stuck, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional or whether it's spiritual. We have all experienced a time in our lives where we have felt or where we have actually been stuck. And so the question I have for you this morning is, are you feeling stuck? And I have a cute little picture here of a pig who is stuck in the mud. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, stuck in the mud. Do you throw things at problems, like in the story? The picture that is coming up is part of the book, right there, where you've got all the items that the kid threw into the tree. And if he would have just maybe gotten the ladder and climbed up the tree and gotten the kite out, maybe that would have been the first thing he could have done, right? Logical? Yeah? Sometimes we're not very logical when we have problems in our lives. And so we get stuck. So there's another picture here of cars in the mud. And sometimes we need help. And this car is pulling the other car out with a rope or a chain or something. You can't necessarily tell. But sometimes we get so stuck that we cannot get ourselves out of a bind or out of our bondage or out of our sin or out of our discouragement or whatever it is that we find that we're stuck in. And so we get into this pit. I don't know. Some of you have heard this story. I've told you this, but we were up at Cannon Beach, and Cannon Beach is probably the best beach, I think. But who's been there? Some of you? Okay, Big Rock. They always have the sandcastle contest, right? So we were there near Cannon Beach. I don't know if we were on that specific part. And there's, in Washington, you can drive on beaches. Well, in Florence you can too, but we got a bird making noises. Anyway, so there's this beach that you can drive on. And so we were driving closer to the beach thinking, well, I have a two-wheel drive. I don't know if I want to go on the beach and get it stuck. So we parked on the side before you get to the main beach, and we walked onto the beach. Well, everybody else was driving onto this beach, and we saw four-wheelers and big trucks and SUVs. And then all of a sudden, we see this little little sedan, little, what's it called, Mazda or whatever, car, four-door, tiny, as small as you can be, and it's going as fast as it can, and it gets into this rut, and it just keeps spinning. The wheels just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. So everybody gets out, and they start pushing it, and it's still spinning. They're trying to get out. They can't get out. And so finally, there's someone over there that has a big truck, and we try and find a chain, and they come, and they pull out this car in this deep, deep part of sand. And obviously, the person wasn't being very smart in driving into the deep sand with this little itty-bitty car. And yet, they got stuck, and they needed help out. So how many hours have you ever stayed at an airport? Who wants to be the winner today? How many hours? Come on. 24. You have been stuck 24. You have beaten me. I've probably been 14 hours. Susan, I think 16 hours in San Francisco with someone who didn't speak English a friend, of course, but didn't speak English, exchange student, and it was really boring, and trying to find a place to sleep is not fun. Anybody else? More than 24 hours in the airport?
We got about 40.
40? In the same airport? I am sorry. Okay, so you know how it feels to be stuck in an airport. In fact, when we went to Washington, D.C., we were stuck for 14 hours. But we called our friends, and they actually picked us up and took us to dinner. And then they took us to a friend's house where they weren't even there. They let us sleep on their bed and take a nap, and then took us back to the airport. It was an amazing retreat. But, yeah, being stuck in an airport is not fun, especially 24 or 40 hours. How about in a car? How long has someone been in a car nonstop? I'm talking like just stopping for gas and going to the bathroom. 20? 21? 31? Yes, we did a 31. No? Days? No. Okay. The truth is, we have all felt stuck. We have all felt trapped. We have all been in a place where we didn't know how to get out. And sometimes that brings a lot of anxiety. Sometimes that brings a lot of fear. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. And so this little guy here, he's got things going on. Maybe he's like you. Maybe he's struggling with bitterness. Maybe he's bored with life. Maybe he's in debt and can't get out. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he is dead spiritually. Depressed. Unsatisfied. Discouraged. Broken. Have you, any of you felt like that before? Yes. I have too. And so, and hopefully you can relate to this. We all have felt trapped. We have all felt broken. We have all been in these places. And hopefully you're not sitting there this morning thinking that you've never been any of those things. Because if you are thinking that you have never experienced those things, then I would wonder if you're alive. Right? Because life sometimes sucks. Sometimes life is difficult. And you know what? That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. Because I could stand here every Easter and tell you that He has risen, and it's not some fairy tale. It's not some story that I'm just going to tell you about every Easter. It's not. God, who created you and me, came down to this earth in the form of a man to experience life as we know it, how it sucks, painful, depression, brokenness, temptation, unsatisfaction. Do you think Jesus didn't experience any of that? No. He experienced all of that. And yet He did not sin. And He lived for the Father's will. And the Father's will was for Him to die. And His Father's will was for Him to rise again one day, on the third day. Amen. And so, I want to talk to you about a man other than Jesus who was stuck. His name was Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a man that was stuck in the grave for 4 days. Can you imagine how it stunk? I mean, he was not sleeping. Yes, Jesus in this story says he was sleeping, but he was talking in spiritual words, meaning he was dead. He was not dead spiritually, like he was going to live for eternity But he was dead physically, and he started to stink in this tomb. And Lazarus was in Bethany, which was a day away, a day walk away from where Jesus was. Jesus was with his disciples, and they were doing ministry. They were doing work. They were doing the Lord's work, healing the sick and telling people about Jesus. And so a messenger, Martha and Mary, are two ladies that were sisters, and they were Lazarus' sisters. So Lazarus was the brother. And so Mary and Martha sent a messenger, and the messenger took a day to get to Jesus. And on the way, Lazarus died. And so Jesus heard that he was sick and he was dying. Well, he had died already before Jesus could even come to see Lazarus. And what did Jesus do? He waited. He waited 2 days. He could have walked there in one and been with the family and with the sisters. And in fact, Mary and Martha and all the people that were around them were expecting Jesus to come and to keep Lazarus from dying. And so they were probably pretty upset with Jesus. Like, where were you, Jesus? Why were you lingering so long? Well, the disciples didn't want to go either. Well, Jesus wanted to go, but the disciples didn't want to go because the disciples knew that the Jews were stirring up, they were stirring up trouble. And they knew that Jesus was not on the good list, that they were going to maybe get attacked by the Jews. So they didn't want to go to Bethany. Well, 2 days later, Jesus and the disciples went to Bethany, and so there were people crying, and they went out and saw Jesus, and they said, "Where were you? Why weren't you here?" And Jesus said, "Look, I did this for a reason, and I want you to turn to John chapter 11 if you do have that. I don't think I have it on the screen, so you're just going to have to listen. It's a long passage, so I'm not going to read everything to you, but." I want to read to you where he shows up. And so Jesus answered. Let me bump ahead. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now he's talking to the disciples. "Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Well, what they're saying is, we're going to get killed as Jesus will get killed because he's making trouble. "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He had been dead for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem." 2 mile walk. "And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die.'" And then he asked the question, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" And so there's a picture here of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And this is only probably the most that they could tell you is 4 months before Jesus died. Some say it was 2 weeks before Jesus died. And so really this is the miracle upon miracles right before Jesus hit the event of Jesus being crucified and rising again. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, he could have been there, and he could have saved him miraculously from being sick. But Jesus wanted to do something that would challenge their faith and to point towards God. And that was raising Lazarus from the dead. And so there was an empty tomb. And we can read more about that if you wanted to later on. But I don't know if you could relate with Lazarus, because none of us have probably been in the tomb for 4 days dead. But I think we can relate with being stuck. And Lazarus probably at some point realized that he was stuck. Coming out of the grave, seeing the light, realizing that he's not sick anymore and he's alive, probably was a pretty exciting feeling, I would think. And what I want you guys to realize is this morning is, in spiritual words, in spiritual analogy, God wants to raise you from the dead. He wants to raise me from the dead. It's not this one moment, boom, I'm in heaven ticket. Only. Yes, we can get to heaven if we believe in Jesus. However, it is a continuing process of believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus and following Jesus, so that he doesn't just give us a ticket to heaven, but we have our lives changed today. He wants to unstuck us. He wants to unstick us. Grammatically, come on, teachers, help me out here. He wants to unstick us. He wants to bring us back to life. And yes, this life is difficult. And yes, this life is painful. And yes, this life is depressing. But he rose Lazarus from the dead. So he can raise us from the dead. Spiritually speaking, right? Well, I have a really close to home picture of what it looks like when you are stuck and then God gives you victory. Let's watch. Did anybody recognize that? No? That was the Mudfest 2013, just right down the street. Yeah. And the title on the YouTube video was Victory! I thought that was pretty cool. You know, even when we are stuck in a situation or in sin, there is hope. Because God came to give us hope. He came to give us victory. He came to give us life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He came to give us that in abundance. And so, we can have victory. We can have freedom. God did not come to this earth just to give us a free ticket out of here. He didn't. He is going to restore the heavens and the earth. He is going to restore our lives. Do you believe it?
Yes.
All right. I believe it too. And, you know, Bono says, we are only stuck for a moment. He sings a song titled, You Are Only Stuck for a Moment. And it really, it's a moment to God. And He wants to unstick us today. He wants to get us out of the rut, out of the pit. Whether it's sin, whether it's hopelessness, whether it's depression, whatever it is, He understands what you're going through. And He wants to help you out of that. There's a story that I found of a lady that recently just got stuck. She got lost in the wilderness. Her name is Mary Owen, and she was stuck on Mount Hood since last Sunday, and they found her. And here's what it said. In a remarkable twist of fate, a woman missing since she told loved ones she was going on a hike on Mount Hood last Sunday has been found and is expected to be okay. 23-year-old Mary Owen was flown to Portland Hospital in an Army National Guard helicopter after she was spotted below the mountains, Sandy Glacier, just about after 10 a.m. Saturday, which is yesterday, right? A Clackamas County Sheriff's Office spokesman said she was hoisted up into the chopper and was able to talk to her rescuers. She has a leg injury and a little bit of frostbite, but doctors expect her to make a full recovery. I don't know another person who could have survived this ordeal, Bruce Owen, her father, says. She is actually a George Fox University student, a senior, and she went for a hike. And this says that they checked the parking lot Thursday night and found a white 1998 Toyota 4Runner, which Mary apparently borrowed from a friend to make the trip. And so the deputies arrived and said it appeared the SUV had been sitting at the location for some time. Owen had sent an email to a friend that stated she was going hiking on the mountain. The email said she planned to be back that night or Monday morning, according to her father. Bruce Owen, who's the father, told Fox 12 his daughter survived by building a snow cave and keeping warm under a lightweight poncho. But after several days with little food and water, she started to hallucinate. And she kept imagining people would come to her and tell her ways to get off the mountain, like there was some little people who came to her and told her that they were going to bring her a horse. Somebody else came and said she could use their dragon, but they never came back. And so, but she was rescued. And she said that there were parts where she wished she could have died and have it over with. But she came to a conclusion that God was not going to let her die. So she was just toughing it out one day at a time. And I don't know if you've ever been stuck on a mountain, but 6 days is a pretty long time when you're in the midst of snow. And I don't think we could probably figure out if we could handle it or not at this point because we're not there. And so yet she was able to handle 6 days by herself on a mountain in the snow with frostbite. And I wonder what went through her mind. I wonder what she was thinking. It sounds like she was thinking, I wish I would just die. Do you feel like that sometimes? Do you feel like sometimes I wish it would just stop? I wish I could just get out of this pit. Yeah? Do you wish that you could just be free of it all? Jesus wants to free you. Jesus wants to find you when you're lost. He wants to free you when you're stuck. There's a picture of a checkmate, a picture that has checkmate on it, titled checkmate. And a group of people were led by a tour guide, and it was a Russian art museum, and one man in the group, a professional chess player, takes a special interest in this painting, and he looks at it, and in the painting, the man is playing chess with the devil. The devil is grinning ear to ear because he has the man cornered. The title of the painting is Checkmate, and it indicates the game is over. The devil has won. His opponent has no more moves. The chess player, who is an international chess player, winner, he says, he analyzes for a very long time and he says, it's wrong, he exclaims. There is one more move. He runs to his group and together they look at the painting and he says, we have to contact the painter. The champion says, it's not checkmate. I don't know if you're a chess player, but he may be right. But I know this. The story indicates that there is one more play. That Jesus has the last play, right? And sometimes, between you and I, I'm sure we could have a conversation. Sometimes we feel like Satan has won up on us. Like he's winning. And we get discouraged. And we get hopeless. But it may be Friday, but Sunday's a coming, right? We've heard that sermon. And Jesus has risen. And that is not a fairy tale. That is not just one story that I could tell you and you go home and you eat your food for Easter and you go on with life. Jesus has risen so that you might have life. What does that verse say? I think it's the next one, Mike. Jesus said to Martha or Mary, one of the two, I think it was Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, then you will be saved. You will have victory in your life. You will be pulled out of the pit. You will experience life. And you will not have to be dead ever again. And so Jesus was talking not just physically about Lazarus being raised from the dead. He was talking about Lazarus living forever and ever and ever in the reality of being alive. In the spiritual sense, right? Because our body may die. Our body will stink in a tomb after 4 days. But our spirit and our soul, if we believe, will live forever. And so the question I have for you again is, do you believe? Because believing is not just, yeah, sure. Believing is, I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so the enemy has not won. Jesus still has one more move. And when Jesus was put to death on the cross, it seemed to his friends and his disciples that another good and miraculous man had come and died, just like other people had died. It also probably seemed that the one man who could save humanity had been killed. It seemed like the devil had won and defeated Jesus Christ and put him under death's cold power. But when Jesus rose, a few days later, he showed the whole entire world that absolutely nothing could hold him in the grave. Nothing. He had the last move, the move with which he conquered death and hell. The greatest crime of humanity had just been turned into the greatest victory of God. And so, John 11 gives you a picture of what will happen when Jesus is crucified, because there's hope. Lazarus was raised from the dead by God's power, and Jesus was raised from the dead by God's power. And so he is risen. He is risen. And so the question I have for you is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I hope so. I hope if you don't believe this now, I pray that God would reveal himself to you in such a way that you could not deny it. Because he has risen, and there is hope. And so the picture is with the guy on the hill celebrating, because there's victory and there's hope. And that when we're discouraged and depressed, and when we're in the pit, and when we're stuck in sin, and when we're stuck in our transgressions, we know that we can go to God and he can take it from us. And so I pray that you will do that this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word because it's truth. I thank you that your word does not come back void. And so I pray, I ask, I plead. Lord, would you make your word penetrate into each and every one of our hearts this morning? That you are the resurrection and the life. And she who believes in you will have life. And so I just pray that all of us would experience more of you this day, this Easter 2013, that we would not leave this place without knowing the hope of the resurrection. Thank you for loving us enough to die for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone says, Amen.